If you got your Bibles tonight, first of all, wave them at me. I want to see Bibles. Praise God. Now, what I want you to do is follow me. Go to the book of Revelation and then turn left to the book of Jude. Go to Revelation 1, then just look back to Jude and one chapter, but we're going to read four verses tonight from the book of Jude. And I want to help you tonight. Now, on Wednesday night, I am going to continue the series on Matthew 24. I'm going to do it on Wednesday night. That way I can take more time in it. Is that all right, Bill? Take more time in it. And I'm excited about it. And we've just started, actually. And I think you're going to be blessed. But won't you stay in a moment? Let's give honor to the Word of God. And let me read this passage of Scripture. By the way, this is an important message. It'll help you if you apply what I preach to you tonight. See, God is not a respecter of persons. Sometimes we think, well, God loves Stan a whole lot much more than he loves me. That's not the truth. Now, I want you to tell you what God is. He's not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles. He'll honor them that honor him. And he'll curse them that curse him. So what I'm going to do tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the title. And if you're listening by way of live stream, please share this. It'll be helpful to people. I'm preaching tonight on this. Principles to practice for spiritual strength and survival. Let me say it again. Principles to practice for spiritual strength and survival. Let's look at these five principles found in these four verses. But ye, verse 20, but ye, beloved. He's talking to Christians. But ye, beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Our Father, help me in these next 25 or so minutes to bring a five truths that I think will be helpful to our people. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Now, you Bible students probably know the context of Jude, but let me at least catch you up to where we are right now. Jude set out to preach about the common salvation. I love messages on salvation. I love people talking about how you get saved, how long you are saved. Somebody help me preach. And his desire and his intention was to preach about that. But then God, in verse 3, changed his mind. And his message then became this: to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, whether we like this or not, we've got to contend for the faith. Now, let me make this. I want to get this across to you. I don't have no axe to grind with a bunch of people. I'm not talking about fighting my next door neighbor church. That's ignorance. There's too much of that going on. No wonder people don't want to get saved, and no wonder they don't want to come to church, because there's so much infighting. Hey, not other denominations, there's so much infighting right in the middle of Baptists. And I want to tell you something. I'm not getting into that. I'm not grinding axes with nobody. I ain't got time for it. People are dying and going to hell. This passage is not talking about me contending against another believer. This whole passage is talking about apostasy and apostates. That's somebody that is not saved, who is polluting, trying to pollute somebody that is saved. And ladies and gentlemen, if we want to preach, let's preach against false doctrine and preach against those people that would deceive many. Now, just by way of introduction, in verse 4, what Jude does, he promptly denounces them. He just tells you they're wicked, they're unsaved. Hey, listen, an apostate is unsaved. Now, there's a lot of preachers that are in error that's not apostates. There's some churches in error, but they're not apostates. But I'm talking about a person that is lost, who has an agenda to pollute the faith, to get as many people lost, and to confuse as many people as they can. And he pronounces and denounces them promptly. Then he persistently describes what apostate was. He tells them they're clouds without water. He goes into a description about apostates. Then he predicts their destruction. I want you to know every apostate's going to hell. Somebody help me preach. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, he's in hell. It's quiet in here. That Russell guy that started the Jehovah's Witness, he's in hell. Jim Jones that brought those people down into Guyana, he's in hell. You say why? Because he was an apostate.
That's right. Come on, you're preaching now. Come on.
Y'all with me? And I want y'all to know something, friend. They were active in that day. But I think they're doubling their efforts in this day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And stay with me. And I want you to know something. That crowd, if they can't deceive us, they'll try to destroy us and they'll try to weaken us. That's why my message is on principles to practice for spiritual strength and survival. We're living in a dark day in our culture, in our country. This country's a mess, but I want you to know, as far as religion goes, it is in a big mess. And I look around, and there's some churches that have been weakened because of the battle, and because they didn't practice principles of survival. You know, by the way, let me give you this. I'll be 71, July 9th. I know I don't look 70. I really don't act 70. Joe acts 70. I don't act 70. But I want to tell you, churches are in three different stages. Let me give you the stages. Number one, some of them are in ministry stage. That's Taze Valley Baptist. We always out doing something. I look at the summer schedule and I'm dizzy. I mean, we're going on a mission trip. We're having a junior camp. We're having a teen camp. We're having a homecoming. Then in the fall, early fall, we're going to have a revival. You say, why? Because we're in the ministry trade. We're planning to build two new buildings over there, or one building. You know how it is. Over on the side, we're not quit. We're in the ministry state. But I know not every church is in the ministry state. Some churches are what I call the maintenance state. They're just kind of maintaining what they got. But here's the sad thing. Because they've got weak, there are some churches in what I call the monument stage. What we used to be. How many churches do you people in this room know? Maybe you even once went to them. That were thriving churches. Now, they're dead. And all their folks do in the church is remember the good old days. And far as I'm concerned, that is sad because we have the power of the Holy Ghost. We have the Son of God to help us. And we ought not to be dead if we learn some principles of survival. Am I preaching? And then Christians. I've never seen so many weak and wondering Christians in all my life. It used to be you could preach the Word of God, and you know, folks would just stand up there for you and receive it. But I want you to know, even the people in your own church can't take strong doctrine anymore. They're in a weakened condition. Somebody help me preach. I'm going somewhere. And I'm going to say this. The clergy. I want to tell you right now. I use the word clergy to say preachers. They're at an all-time low. It's hard to find somebody that's really sincere, loves God, and wants to do this thing for the glory of God. Somebody help me preach. If they're not fighting one another, if they're not just out just trying to be in it for themselves, they're a mess. And many of them are not going to survive. And many of them are weak and anemic. And tonight, I just want to take the next 22 minutes. Whoo, glory. And I want you to look at your scripture with me. I want to help you tonight. I'm going to teach a little bit tonight. I want to help you learn how to have spiritual strength and survive in these dark days. It's not, look at me, it's not like this. Oh, I'm saved. Snap my fingers, it's going to be okay. No. You've got to have something in your soul that is good or you will not survive. Yes. That's right. Let me give you five principles. Are you looking at your Bible? Look at verse number 20. Principle number one. And I use words to key you every one of these messages. Or all five principles. But ye, beloved. Now, write down the word building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Principle number one. We need to build upon our most holy faith. That word build or building is from the Greek word epikonomo, which means to build upon or to build upon something. And the idea is finishing a structure which the foundation has already been laid. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, how many people saved? Then the foundation's already been laid. That's Christ. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, for of other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. So he's the foundation. Now listen to me. Here's the danger. We got many people trying to build upon a foundation of materialism. And by the way, thank God for good things. But good things are not going to sustain you in the storm. Some people are trying to build upon the foundation of selfishness. I've never seen so much selfishness in my life. And I want to say something about this church for a minute. So a good quality. By the most part in our church, y'all's one of the most unselfish people I've ever pastored. Of course, you're about the only one I ever pastored. I pastored you 43 years. I never forgot those other three churches I pastored. Just think about last week. Can I just share this? Last week, we took offerings all week. And our smallest crowd, which wasn't a small crowd, on Wednesday night, we're needing a big offering to try to help that boy get two hips. You know what God done that offering? I wasn't going to say it, but somebody asked me before church what it was. Was it you? It's unbelievable. After all those offerings, you unselfishly give $7,893. Somebody give God the glory. I want you to know something. When you build on the right foundation and you're not selfish, you can be productive. Then some people build upon the foundation of power. They want control and they want to be in charge. Then some people build upon the foundation of wickedness and sexual wickedness or being wild. By the way, if you build on any other foundation than Christ, your stability will be replaced with instability. Your serenity or peace will be replaced with uncertainty. Your strength will be replaced with weakness. Your steadfastness will be replaced with quitting. Your simplicity will be replaced with confusion. Somebody help me pray. Principle number one, building. Number two, I'm trying to hurry. Thank you, brother. Look at verse 20. Last phrase. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Principle number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I will give you, you might want to write down this statement. This is somewhat of a statement that I made on my own about prayer. Here's what prayer is in the Holy Ghost. It is the splicing of our limp wire into the lightning bolt of heaven. Y'all didn't get that, did you? It is the splicing of our limp wire in the lightning bolt of heaven. When we, limp me and limp you, hook into the Holy Ghost of God, it becomes a lightning bolt of power. I have people ask me, I've had preachers ask me, so why in the world do y'all take 6 to 8 weeks before Jubilee to pray? Because that's the only way to get power. You know, we've been doing the same thing in preparation for Jubilee for at least the last 20 years. And somebody asked me, though, they said, why in the world did you bring your people out every Monday for 7 to 8 weeks? And I said, to be quite honest, it works. Because, see, our limp wire needs to be connected to his lightning bolt. Somebody help me preach. Here's what will happen. See, prayer, by you praying, it's a way to defeat the devil. Because the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Prayer is the way for lost sinners to be saved. Remember the lost sinner said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Prayer is the way to acquire wisdom. If he might lack wisdom, may ask God. How many in this room? You're about ready to make a decision. Dear God, don't do it without prayer. Amen. Somebody help me preach. Prayer is the way to labor in the harvest. Pray for the Lord of the harvest. Prayer is the way to accomplish the impossible. Now, can I read two things to you? I could almost just quote them, but I want to read them to you. Anybody ever heard of Ian Bounds? How many? A few of you? I read one of his books, and I refreshed myself on it this week. Here's what he said about prayer. This absolutely will move you if you let it. Here's what he said. This just blew my mind. It was so accurate. He said, God has of his own motion placed himself under the authority or under the law of prayer and has obligated himself to answer the prayers of men. He has ordained prayer as a means whereby he will do all things through men as they pray, which he would otherwise not do. Wow. And what all that says is God in his sovereign will declared prayer is the way that he was allowing us to get connected to him to get our answers. Now let me read you one more. R.A. Torrey said this. Prayer is the key to that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God does is at the disposal of prayer. Now hold a minute. I want everybody to hold your finger there and everybody turn to Romans 8:26. Will you go over there with me? Hurry. Now, what do you mean by praying in the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about yielding yourself to the Holy Ghost. Now, let me read some verses. Two of them. Now, go over. Please go, please. I'm almost done. Hurry. How many's there? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, listen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'll be honest with you. Most of us don't have enough sense coming out of the rain. We don't know how to pray or what to pray for. Somebody help me preach. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's not tongues. And here's what he does. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here it is. You yield to the Spirit and let him through you pray to God, because he already knows God's will for your life and what God wants. Somebody help me preach. You say, that's too simple. That's the way to power. That's the way to survive. Number three, let me go. Number three. Look at verse 21. Are y'all still with me? Boy, this one here is a hard one. Keep, that's the third word, keep yourselves in the love of God. The Bible said in the last days the love of many shall wax cold. The Bible said in Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast what? The word keep means to attend carefully. Watch your guard. Now, let me say something. How many of you love God? Raise your hand if you love God. How many of you know God loves you? So you have the source of love, right? What's the meaning? Keep yourself. Have you ever caught yourself not loving God the way you ought to?
Sure have.
And not loving others the way you have to?
Absolutely.
And by the way, they kind of connect. And I'll be honest with you. Now, let me show you how. Let me show you when I know I'm at the stage I'm not keeping my love right. I develop what I call an attitude. Oh, I know y'all don't, but I do. I get real frustrated real easy. And I get to a place I really don't want to stand somebody. You are too. I tell you, one of the hardest graces I have, and I know you have, is to keep myself where I ought to be spiritually, that I love God properly, and I love others also. I'm talking about loving my enemies. I'm talking about loving people that despise me. I'm talking about loving one another. Hello? Every once in a while, that's hard. Because a lot of us are not real lovable. How many know somebody's not lovable? Now you watch, put your hands down now. Oh, man. Chad, in the ministry, if we don't watch it, we'll let some negativity. We'll let somebody negative make us lose our focus. And then we'll stop loving them the way we should, and we'll stop loving others the way we should. And how many of y'all, maybe you don't get this. How many, every once in a while, somebody that gets on your nerves, seems like a devil, puts them right in your face. Anybody here like that? Rich, I mean, the devil knows how to do it. Just put that person that robs me most of the time right in front of me. And then I'm not keeping myself in the love of God. It affects everything. Then I've let that guy affect me, and I lose my love, and I go home, and Marguerite said, "What's wrong with you?" Nothing. Oh, something's wrong with you. Who said something to you today? Nobody.
You're preaching, preacher. Come on.
Hold on. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't take much for us to get disconnected from the love of God. It'll affect our marriage. It'll affect our membership in the church. It'll affect everything about us if we get disconnected from the love of God. Am I preaching? Let me give you. Y'all getting something out of this? Principle number four. Look at the last part of verse 21 and into verse 22. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we said so far, Chad, what's these words? Let me see if I can remember. First of all, we have the principle of building, right? Principle of praying, right? The principle of keeping. Verse 21, we see the principle of looking. Amen. It's to keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That word looking means earnestly expecting the fulfillment of a promise. Amen. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but when we know, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus." When we look for God's mercy, then God's mercy comes on us. Listen. And then we become most merciful. Or we make a difference. Let me ask you a question. How old are you going to think you live? 70, 80, 90? In the big scope, that's not very long. How about the rest of your life saying, "I want to make a difference."
Amen.
You know, we're traveling. They're traveling 30 hours on a bus. I'm already praying that you don't kill somebody. That's a long ways. So they go out to love each other. He said, I heard you was going. I am, but I'm flying. If you think I'm going into a bunch of college and career and high schoolers for 30 hours, you're out of your mind. No, I'm kidding. I just can't take that kind of drive. But I want to be with them. Y'all pray for me that I don't get dehydrated and do something ignorant. But you know, somebody asked me, said, why are you going on a mission trip? To make a difference? Why are you having a junior camp? To make a difference? I wish you would say, I wish I could. Sometimes, Steve, you need to make up a little video and show all the junior camps, guys and girls, that are now serving for God. See, what are we having a teen camp for? To make a difference? What are we having a revival in the fall for? To make a difference? You know, I don't know what all be said about me when I die. But here's what I hope. I hope that somebody will say, well, he had his faults. Y'all probably be easy to tell everybody did. But the old boy stuck it out. And he made a difference in my life. Amen. Well, isn't that what you want?
Amen. Yeah.
I just want to make a difference.
Yeah. Amen.
I want the mercy God showed me for me to be able to show someone else.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach. Last thing I'm done, I got to quit. Look at principle number 5. And I call that the principle of snatching and saving. Verse 23. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The word saved there is that Greek word sozo, means to rescue from danger and destruction. The word pulling means to seize or to carry off by force. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people you know. Now come on. That are almost ready to fall into hell. And I say to you, you need to do everything you can to try to keep them out. Somebody help me preach. Let me ask you, how many's got a family member lost? Raise your hand. You got to do something to save or snatch them out. And to be a vehicle for God. How many got somebody at work that you got a burden for and you like to see saved, isn't it? I'll close. We've had a lot of funerals lately. One of them we had here just in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And time is kind of fast on me right now. We've had so many deaths. My mind is just. But we had a man saved. He was actually saved in another church, but he came here that night and joined our church. Sam Barnett. Sam Barnett was hellbound. And he got saved. And I tell you what really literally happened. He got pulled from the fire. Because he only lived 3 more years. And what if someone didn't reach him? What if he didn't have that friend that worked with him, either at Dow or wherever it was? He didn't have that friend that influenced him that he wanted to go to that church and see him. What if he didn't have that? Somebody help me preach. Sam Barnett's in heaven because somebody cared for him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Bow your head with me. Stand with me. I wonder how many of you would like to make a difference. And you got somebody on your heart. And you just come around this altar and say, I want to make a difference. I want my Christian life, my ministry, I want to make a difference. If that's you, would you just keep on, yeah, come on out. Come out. I want to make a difference. Our Father, thank you for our folks. God, help us to apply these principles Help us to, Lord, do that which we should. God, there's people I know on the way to hell. I want to pray for them. God, help us to make a difference in our life. It's such a short life, Lord. Help everyone to want to just make a difference. And I'll praise you. I'll honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep going.